This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
This Sunday is World No Tobacco Day, and this morning we'll be exploring the latest player to the cigarette market. It's called the e-cigarette, better known by its street name, the vape.
Vaping is where you heat up the liquid nicotine to get the nicotine inside your body.
That's Nick Nofami, the proprietor of the Huff & Puff Cafe. It's where the vaping community gather to share and enjoy their vaping experience.
So what vaping gives you is the same thing, except it doesn't have any smoke in it. So you can enjoy the flavor, you can enjoy the nicotine, but without the tar and the other nasty stuff that is inside the cigarette. And yeah, and then it's getting more and more popular because of that, because it works.
Does it? Studies surrounding e-cigarettes are still scanty. There are questions of whether it can really help smokers wean off the conventional cigarette, and if it really is the more effective option compared to nicotine patches and the gum. Zahira Zain is the board member of the Malaysian Women's Action for Tobacco and Health. Here's how she compares e-cigarettes to its more conventional form.
When you compare it with the cigarette contains a lot of elements. In the past, we thought there were 4,000 chemicals inside cigarettes, but new findings found that there are a lot more, 7,000. Because the tobacco companies, they don't just use the tobacco leaves, but they have a lot of additives. Additives that is to create flavors, for flavoring, for taste, and to increase in the absorption of the nicotine and so on. All those flavorings and all those additives that they add when in the process of combustion for the cigarettes then leads to a formation of another, for you know, subsequent other chemicals. And the very, very basic things that we know, the nicotine, of course, the carbon monoxide, the tar. Tar is a collection of all the particulate matter that, you know, when you burn something, when you have soot, that kind of thing, the soot is black. That's the same in the cigarettes, and that forms together into what they call tar. So when you compare the cigarettes compared with the e-cigarette is much, much cleaner. It's not without materials that may be dangerous to health when used in the long run and so on, but still, it's a lot cleaner.
And while it may be a healthier option, the main issue is the lack of regulation for e-cigarettes. Small specialty shops and cafes are selling e-cigarettes to a growing community of vapers tax-free. The community is self-regulating, and Malaysia is quickly growing into the largest e-cigarette community in Southeast Asia. The more pertinent question now is if e-cigarettes require state regulation.
Of course, you want to limit its availability to the public for the reason that it is danger or there is some risk involved in this product, and you want to regulate it. So you don't want it to cause harm to the public who unknowingly use. And so, of course, because of the fact that I mentioned just now, it liberates, the vapor has got chemicals like nicotine and a few others. And the nicotine itself is addictive. It can, theoretically, people can get addicted to the e-cigarette. So when you have a law or some kind of regulations to limit its availability, you will know who is accessible to this thing. Like, for example, in the Controlled Tobacco Products Regulations for cigarettes, there are many provisions inside that law that requires the industry to follow, and so that the consumers understand and know that the risks. Like, for example, the packaging has got to be of a certain size, and it has got to have pictorial warnings, because some people don't understand, may not be able to read, they could understand the pictures, you know, all those things. I'm not saying that if you were to regulate the e-cigarettes, all those things will have to come in. I don't know what kind of provisions will be inside that law. And then availability. You cannot allow the accessibility of cigarettes to children, you know, minors. Minors cannot use it, cannot even possess it. They cannot buy it. So you would want something like that for e-cigarette as well. You cannot sell it to children. At the moment now, there's nothing that stops children from buying. And then by right, it must be only available at certain sites. For e-cigarettes, for example, maybe make it available in pharmacies or maybe other outlet that the law allows. For cigarettes at the moment, it's unfortunately still not licensed. So people can buy it anywhere, any shops, any provision shops, even restaurants, mamak store, you can buy it. And that is very bad. So in other words, when you have a law that restricts accessibility, that kind of thing has got to be considered. That means availability in where you can buy it and also what kind of age group can buy it and so on.
Though not regulated, 2 years ago, the Sarawak state government enforced a ruling requiring e-cigarette vendors to register the e-cigarette's liquid nicotine with the Ministry of Health under the Poisons Act 1952. According to Datuk Sri Lia Tiong Lai, the then health minister, liquid nicotine could only be sold through licensed pharmacists and registered medical practitioners. The e-cigarette, though, is all right.
For me, I think if you want to ban e-cigarette, you must ban cigarettes, because it doesn't make sense that the more dangerous, dirtier stuff is allowed in the market and yet the cleaner alternative is banned. So now the question about if you limit its availability, wouldn't it cause people to go back to smoking cigarettes? It's true, I agree. But certainly when the government decides to limit the availability of e-cigarettes by regulating it, there must be strict regulations on the sales of cigarettes as well. The government must make sure that cigarettes can only be sold at very limited places. So if you do it simultaneously, people are going to be finding it very difficult to buy cigarettes because now it's very limited also. And because they want to quit, and the government must make sure that they must heighten the promotion for smoking cessation. They must get people to quit by increasing the tax for cigarettes. It has got to go simultaneously. You can't just penalize on e-cigarette and expect the problem to be solved. The bigger problem is not the e-cigarette, honestly. It is actually the cigarettes. So the government must increase tax, because tax has been shown to be one very important single factor that reduces demand in the immediate effect when compared to others. So maybe people will have to make a choice. Should I buy cigarettes which cost as much or even more than e-cigarette? Then the choice is there. Because the ultimate thing is not to promote e-cigarettes, not at all, but the ultimate aim for the government is to have a healthy population.
People converting into vaping has grown a lot more. In this shop, on average, we converted maybe about 5 to 10 people a week from smokers to vaping, and people are starting to realise the benefits of vaping.
That was Nick Nofarmi, proprietor of the Huff and Puff Cafe, and earlier you were listening to Zahira Zain from the Malaysian Women's Action for Tobacco and Health. Whether e-cigarettes are truly on the path of harm reduction or if it needs state regulation is a question that both the community and the government will have to figure out. I'm Azif Azuddin, reporting for BFM.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.